In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One liability of hearing the Christmas story over and over is that we all know how it turns out. We can't recapture, however, the initial shock of the news, God coming in flesh, show us what real life looks like. In the last couple of weeks, John the Baptist was a messenger of that news. His news was that I'm not all that good. He talked about axes and pitchforks and unquenchable fires, suggested that maybe we were snakes in the grass, vipers who only seek God when our snake pits are on fire. So it's a real relief this morning to hear from a different messenger, not John the Baptist, but Mary the prophet, who will also turn out to be the mother of Jesus, but not yet. Today she's still a maiden, chosen by God to bear the message before she ever bears a child. Her cousin Elizabeth is the first one to hear what Mary has to say. Maybe she's the first one willing to listen. She too is pregnant, 6 months further along than Mary, and much, much older. So old that her impending motherhood is almost as much a miracle as Mary's. So she and Mary have a lot in common. There is one obvious difference. In Elizabeth's case, the biological father is hanging around the house. Zechariah by name, a priest who said nothing in months. We almost never hear his story in church, which is too bad, as he and Mary have something in common, too. Both were visited by the angel Gabriel, who told Zechariah about his and Elizabeth's baby to be before telling Mary about hers. Unfortunately, Zechariah's annunciation did not go as well as Mary's. The angel told him that Elizabeth would bear a son whose name would be John. Zechariah said, "How will I know that this is so? I'm an old man, and my wife is getting along in years." For this impertinence, the angel zipped Zechariah's lips, making him mute until the day he heard his son cry out for the first time. 6 months later, when Gabriel told Mary that she would bear a son, she said about the same thing. "How can this be since I am a virgin?" But for some reason, the angel went easier on her, told her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, the power of the Most High would overshadow her, and instead of asking more questions, he said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." So when she goes to visit Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary can speak while Zechariah can only wave. Poor Zechariah. All women's voices that day. First, Mary was greeting her cousin Elizabeth, then exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Why did Elizabeth shout? She's excited by the visit, and her own baby jumped for joy inside her, plus his new life popping out all over. She's so glad that her young cousin has the sense to believe that what's happening to her is not an accident, an illusion, or a freak of nature, but a wedding gift from God. After this, it's Mary's turn. Do you think she would settle down and learn about childbearing from Elizabeth? About things like appetites, mood swings, backaches, and swelling feet? But instead of the elder woman sharing her wisdom, the younger enlightens the elder with the prophecy that we heard this morning. "My soul magnifies the Lord." Mary sings right there in Elizabeth's living room. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Elizabeth and Zechariah are the first to hear the song. But it's not just for them. It's for Mary and the mighty one who did this great thing for her, or Gabriel, who gave her the good news first, and for all who will benefit from it, for the proud and the powerful who will be relieved of swelled heads, for the hungry who will be filled with good things, for the rich who will be sent away empty, leaving room for more than their money can buy, for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, for Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, Rachel, for every son and daughter of Israel who thought God had forgotten his promise to be with them forever, to love them forever, to give them fresh and endless life. All this is happening inside Mary. It's hard to understand about this young girl prophesying this eternally unfolding mystery of life, past and present and future. After all, Jesus' birth is almost 9 months off. However, in this mysterious divine dance, we are all dancing. God may lead, but it's up to us whether we will follow. God acts, then it is our turn. God responds to us, and then it is our turn again. The only thing in this mystery that is absolutely sure is that we have a partner who is with us, for us, who wants us to have life. Mary's trust in this is really all she has. No sonogram, no husband, no affidavit from the Holy Spirit that says, that child is really mine. All she has is her unreasonable willingness to believe that the God who has chosen her will be part of whatever happens next. And that, apparently, is enough to make her burst into song. She does not wait to see what will happen first. She sings ahead of time and all the angels with her. A major theme of Advent is looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. We must be alert and ready for the Lord's return, whenever that may be. There is meaning to life's struggles. If you are uptight about something, can't see what the end will be, you might try following Mary's lead. Who knows? Maybe the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Maybe the shadow hanging over you is the power of the Most High. While it would be nice to know how it will turn out, is that really necessary? You know how God has acted before. And you know what happens when people say, yes, thanks, God, I'd love to dance. Get excited now before you know.